The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
When I experienced the death of my marriage, I realized I'd worked so hard on that relationship, and now that that relationship ended, it was time to work on me. And I had to acknowledge some things that I needed to get help in. I needed to have the Lord reveal to me so that I could walk forward in my life as a healthier person.
Author Lisa Turkhurst answers the question, is it unloving or selfish to set a boundary? Next on Life Today.
Well, I know I tell you every day on Life Today, we're glad to see you. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Robinson. Betty, my sweetheart, is here. And I'll be telling this for a long time. Next year, we will have been married 60. Yeah. 60 years. To God be the glory. One of our favorite guests, Lisa Turkhurst, has been here many times for the last 10 years. Because she's not only one of our favorites, and she really does like Life Today, but she's one of your favorites. Now, I want you to look at this one. And by the way, she's been through some stuff. And people are going through some stuff today. And it's almost like the enemy has shifted in high gear. And he's really putting us through stuff. But remember this. On a national basis, we kind of give him access to the ground. And one of the reasons he gets access is we don't have good boundaries. We don't have protective walls. God calls his word a hedge. Mm-hmm. Satan called it a hedge that protected Job. By the way, we don't ever want to get out of that hedge, that boundary of protection. Well, I have an idea Lisa, who's gifted by God, is going to help us understand good boundaries and sometimes some sad, painful, but perhaps necessary goodbyes. Now, I may be going in a direction, she says, ooh, it's going to take me a while to straighten all that out. I don't think so. I'm glad Lisa's here. Lisa, I hope I didn't throw you a curveball.
You did not. That was great. That is so true. And, you know, one thing that I really wanted to dispel in this book was something I had struggled with, and that is it unkind to draw boundaries? Is it unchristian to draw boundaries? And I really wanted to know, is God okay with relational boundaries? And what I discovered as I got into God's Word is right from Genesis 1, God established the foundation of the world using boundaries. He separated the light from the darkness, the dry land from the sea. And then as we get into Genesis 2, think of all the topics that God surely wanted to talk to Adam about. But the subject matter he chose for the first recorded conversation in Genesis 2 was a boundary. And the way God established this boundary in this first recorded conversation is important. God told Adam, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or you will die. And what I saw in that is boundaries are for the sake of freedom. God says you are free.
Yeah, and life and freedom.
That's right. Actually. And when we have clearly defined boundaries, this is okay, all the way to here. And then outside of this, it's not okay. This is acceptable, this is not acceptable. But once we have clearly defined and well-communicated boundaries, then true freedom can exist because you can run within those boundary lines with abandon, with excitement, with joy, and you're not hesitating. Is this okay? Is this okay? Is this okay? So God establishes it in the context of freedom. And
does he not make those boundaries relatively clear in his word?
He very much does. He very much does. So he not only did it for freedom, but also for protection. So there was some restriction, but it was for the sake of the relationship, not to the detriment of the relationship.
Enhancing and extending life, actually, too.
Exactly. And he wanted to protect Adam from something Adam didn't understand would be so detrimental, and that is the weight of the knowledge of evil. And so, and of course, there was a consequence, too. So we see in the garden one rule given. One boundary. Can you imagine how amazing it would be if we only had one rule to follow, right?
Yeah.
But as sin entered in, as we see in Genesis 3, where there's sin, there is chaos. And where there's chaos, there is a lack of boundary. So the more sin that happened as we progress from Genesis 3 on into the Old Testament, we see the more chaos, the more sin, the more boundaries were required. And by the time we get to the law,
can I just say something? Now, this is back in Genesis.
Yes.
Is there any chance we're seeing any of that today?
You know, I think you're onto something there. And I think we're seeing it in a corporate sense, mm-hmm. in a society sense, but we're also seeing it in a personal sense. My personal counselor says that the pandemic was like in our homes draining a lake and we were forced to see what's really there. And I think a lot of relational chaos happened in that year of close quarters and a little bit of isolation and uncertainty. And so as we progress from Genesis 3 all the way to the law and the prophets, what started out as one boundary, the more sin and the more chaos there was, by the time we get to the law and the prophets, there are over 600 boundaries. And so what I discovered as I kept studying
this. That's because we didn't really do very well with the first one, no other gods, and then the nine that followed. And it's like Reagan said 40 some odd years ago, he said, if we'd have just kept the first 10, we wouldn't have the 50,000 laws we got today that we're breaking.
Right, exactly. Because again, where there's chaos and where there's sin, there's a lack of a boundary. And what I discovered as I was going through the theological nuances of this question, are boundaries okay? Is God okay with boundaries? I discovered that boundaries are not just a good idea. They're actually God's idea. And probably the most profound lesson that I got was when you get to the establishment of the temple. And the way God established the temple was three really important words: access, responsibility, and consequences. The greater access someone had as they got closer and closer to the Holy of Holies, the more responsibility they had to demonstrate. And certain people had certain access based on the responsibility that was required of them, not based on value. All people were equally valuable. But as we get to the Holy of Holies, only the high priest had full access to the Holy of Holies once a year to make atonement for the people. But to have that kind of access, he had to carry that level of responsibility. And if he didn't, then he would pay the highest consequence. He had to be absolutely purified and cleansed before he stepped into the Holy of Holies, or the consequence was death. And so as I thought about those three words, I thought, I can really learn a valuable, valuable lesson about personal boundaries in my life. To the level that we give someone access to us, physically, financially, even relationally, intellectually, spiritually, to the level that we give someone access, they need to bring that same level of responsibility to properly handle that access. My issue, I'm not putting this on you guys, but my issue is too many times I was giving level 10 access to someone who was only demonstrating level 3 responsibility. Mm-hmm.
And these are boundaries you're saying. They're not just necessarily one we read in the Bible, but they're boundaries that you put up to protect life, security, sometimes sanity.
Yes.
You can actually say, am I right to consider this a boundary? Because we had three children, now we have, 25 grandchildren. But I would always show them when they were little and they would ride a tricycle or a little bike, whatever. I'd put a line out here where the concrete from the driveway connected with the street. And I said, y'all see that line? You don't ever cross that line. Because if you go out there, it shortens life, joy, fun, everything you want. That's a boundary. Would you say that's a boundary I put out that was a sensible boundary and it was a meaningful boundary?
Absolutely.
And it made all the sense in the world and very much in line with the boundaries God gives us.
Especially because as a parent, you know things your children don't know. And so, again, you're not establishing that boundary because you're a killjoy father, because you want to be overly restrictive. You're establishing it because of love.
I want to increase their joy.
That's right.
Extend it.
And love really has to be the driving motivation for the boundaries that we establish. We can't let a desire to punish someone be the motivation. We can't have the motivation of control or manipulation. The motivation has to be love for the sake of keeping both people in the relationship safe, sane, and able to be self-controlled.
So that would have to do then, when you were asking a moment ago, could you have a boundary to separate from a person, is that right? Or mm-hmm. keep distance, correct?
Yeah, well, it's keeping distance if necessary. And so,
is that acceptable to God, you were asking?
It is. It absolutely is. And here's a good way to think about it. The wrong way to establish a boundary, and this was the mistake that I made, is when I was giving level 10 access and the other person was only bringing level 3 responsibility, the mistake I made is that I thought I needed to put a boundary on that other person to try to use external pressure to force them to change. Hmm. And that
now, you're pretty open
work.
About your life. Are you in this book, too, talking about where you had those situations in your own marriage?
That's right.
Where the boundaries, you perhaps actually allowed the enemy access by not you making clear a boundary. Is that what you're trying to show us?
Well,
that we could have put a boundary up that would have protected some of this?
Yeah, I don't know that I had a lack of boundaries that allowed the enemy access, but the enemy gained access, and there were certain aspects of our marriage that became unbiblical and unsustainable. And it was heartbreaking, and it was devastating. And I do think I slipped into trying to change this other person using external pressure. But here's something to think about. If you had a cardiac event today, we could rush to your aid using external compressions. Mm-hmm. We could sustain your life until the medical professionals came, and then they could use external compressions to try to sustain your life. But at some point, if your heart does not beat and start pursuing life on its own, you can't have a sustained life using external pressure. Never have you seen two friends walking down the street, one doing chest compressions on the other, and thought, wow, that's a sustainable relationship, right? And so we can't try to force another person to change because it won't work. Unless they have the desire to change, they're not going to change. So we don't put boundaries on another people to try to force them to change. What we do is put a boundary around ourselves in that relationship. And if they are only willing or capable of level 3 responsibility, it's our responsibility then to reduce their access down to their demonstrated level of responsibility. Level 3 responsibility, then we reduce the access to level 3 access.
Now, I've got to ask you, does that lead us to goodbyes?
Does
that mean that if boundaries are ignored, violated, not respected, that sometimes there might have to be a separation that a goodbye is involved in?
Yes, and I always encourage people, take steps, not leaps. We don't want to jump to an extreme because boundaries are never meant to shove another person away. Boundaries are meant to hold ourselves together. And, you know, one of the evidences of God's Spirit in us is self-control. So while we don't want to try to control another person, we are responsible to be self-controlled. We want to love others without losing the best of who we are. And so if someone is consistently bringing level 0 responsibility, I don't mean they made a mistake. There's a big difference between a mistake, which we all make, and patterns of behavior that are consistent violations of things that should not be. If someone is consistently bringing level 0 responsibility, we may need to prayerfully consider and get wise counsel, take steps, not leaps, but reduce the access down to 0. That may not be forever. It may be for a season, or it may be for a long time. You know, I think one verse that really trips people up is, didn't Jesus lay down his life for others? Doesn't he call us to lay down our life for our friends? Yes, Jesus laid down his life to accomplish a high and holy purpose. Jesus did not lay down his life to enable bad behavior to continue.
Or to accommodate it.
That's right.
Or even accept it.
That's
he
right.
always exposed it. And he always exposed it with an avenue out, mm-hmm. which was a total change of mind and action.
Absolutely.
Which is what the Bible teaches clearly as repentance,
yes.
something too seldom practiced today.
That's right.
And so I hear you. Are you covering in this what you've learned in your own journey?
I have. You know, I write my books from my point of struggle, not because I have this great strength and I'm just going to teach everybody else from my own vantage point of strength. I write my books from my point of struggle, and certainly this book is no exception. I have struggled with boundaries, and I can tell you a big reason why I've struggled is that I like to please other people. I would say used to say that I would try to please other people because I wanted to keep them happy. But here's the honest truth. When I experienced the death of my marriage, which is what I call a divorce, it was definitely a death of my most significant relationship. I realized I'd worked so hard on that relationship, and now that that relationship ended, it was time to work on me. And I had to acknowledge some things that I needed to get help in. I needed to have the Lord reveal to me so that I could walk forward in my life as a healthier person. And what I realized about my people pleasing is I wasn't pleasing just to keep the other people happy. I was trying to keep them happy so they would not take from me what I felt I must have from them, or else I wouldn't be okay in the world. We will always desperately want from other people what we fear God will never provide for us.
Wow. What are you hearing this, Betty?
Well, I think, am I right in saying that you want people to look at boundaries as something positive that God can instill in us to protect our hearts and to grow in our relationship with Him and around other people.
And really, if you think about it.
Not to be a restriction.
Right. And if you think about it, boundaries are really a wonderful way to have healthy conversation. Mm-hmm. It's our opportunity to express, this is okay, and this is not okay. Mm-hmm. This is what I have to give, and this is what I do not have to give. This is what's acceptable, and this is what is not acceptable. And I'm convinced more relationships die, not because we try to have healthy boundary conversations and they fail, but because we refuse to have the conversations that were so desperately needed, but were never had.
And we're going to have, because of time, and we're going to try to feed some kids. By the way, we'll send this book to any of you who will help us feed starving children, save their lives. Father, thank you for Lisa. She's been through a lot of challenges, and she has been persistent in learning from them, not just for her, but for others, which is the way you are. In Jesus' name, Lisa, thank you for letting Him be who He is in you and using that gift. The book is in the bookstores. You can get it. And go online and get it. I have an idea. This is going to be a treasure. Lisa, we're going to try to feed 350,000 kids a day. Mm. And I'm asking you, would you feed 3, 5, or 10? Or could you feed 100? I want you to watch, because I think you're going to want to.
Meet John Yates, Life's Missions Director, and his daughter, Ashton. Upon their arrival at this Angolan village, they received a heartwarming greeting from all the elders and their children. But underneath the excitement of meeting our mission team is a sad reality. The worst drought in 40 years has hit Angola, wiping out crops and creating a cycle of death.
I'm in this village today with Luciana, this grandmother. And she's lost 3 of her grandchildren in the last year, within weeks of each other. And she has 1 left. She is afraid for his life.
Unfortunately, no matter which village our mission team visited, the stories John and Ashton heard are all too familiar. Story after story of mothers not having enough food to keep their children alive. The only thing left for a mother to do when her child's life is slipping away is to walk for miles to a malnutrition clinic. There, she hopes to find some way of stopping her child's body from completely shutting down.
That through us, they would see you.
John and Ashton's immediate thoughts are to pray for each family. In spite of these mothers doing all they can for their children, far too often, they must watch their frail bodies continue to worsen.
So today I'm in Benguela, and I've had the privilege to bring my daughter on this trip. My daughter Ashton, she's my baby, my youngest. And I promise you, if it was my little girl sitting there, there is no end to what I would do to make sure she was well. And this mother is no different. she would give her own life for her baby to live well. And so I'm asking you, in Jesus' name, please help us help them. Don't delay. And know that with every gift you make, you are helping to save a life.
Dear God, please let everybody watch and hear that. They can save a life. I tell you many times, you can be somebody's miracle. Betty, I just love those mothers and those grandmothers. And I just love their babies. And we have saved 18 million little babies that would have died and little children. Think about that. 18 million miracles. But you see right there, you saw the loss that's been mourned and shared. And then you see the need. And there, we're looking at the perfect cure. We really are.
You know, James, I think over and over again, and as I look at you, wish I could see you, but I'm looking right into this camera, hoping you can see my heart and know that as much as what James shared, we've been able to do a lot. So many lives have been changed. So precious lives have been changed. And it doesn't lessen the fact that there's still some out there, though. That their mothers are crying out in their hearts saying, what about my baby? Somebody help my baby. I love my baby. There's no one that can replace my baby. Please, someone care. And so many times you have cared. We're asking you to care again, and we'll continue to, because there's so much to still be done. So please join with us again.
Thank you, honey, for your love. Thank you for the way you loved our children, our grandchildren, and 14 great-grandchildren. We've had two of our little grandchildren. We have, for the Christmas season, we had 16 little great-grandchildren's stockings on the mantle. And two of them were stillborn. I can't tell you how much it hurt our granddaughters. Should not see that baby. And look at these grandmothers and mothers with their babies here at the hospital. Said, I've had my baby. My baby's maybe months or years old, but this is my baby.
Yeah.
God, you are the miracle, I promise you. This is the perfect miracle. Mm-hmm. And not only do you save their lives, we show them Jesus. You reveal Jesus in the love. You put his hands and arms around them. And he says, when you do that to the least of these, you're holding me. You're holding me. You're giving me water, food. And he says, you are truly God's sheep, my sheep. Would you right now make the biggest gift you can? $30, $50, $100 feeds 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. We'll feed 100, and I'm just running up praying, God, give us people that'll say, I'll feed 500. Mm-hmm. God, they can do it. Whatever you can do, don't you dare think 30 is too small. That's 3 beautiful little children or grandchildren. Would you go get your bank card, use it like a check, please? Call the number, go online, make the gift God's putting on your heart right now. Let God lead you. We have gifts to send you to say we love you and thank you. We always try to send you something that blesses you and gives you an opportunity to remember the blessings of God in your life, but also through your life. Thank you. Please, go get that card. If you write a check, make it to life. But call us. Tell us what you're putting in the mail. Thank you for giving life.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering and facing severe malnutrition. Lack of rainfall and severe drought has led to one of the deadliest food crises in 40 years. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the Life Planner. Bound in soft-touch leather, this planner will help you in your daily walk with space for you to record your appointments, goals, inspirational notes, and prayers. With your gift of $100 or more, please request a scripture pen set, perfect companions to the Life Planner. These beautiful wooden pens are inscribed with scripture references to keep your heart focused on God's plans for you. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. This beautiful bronze is a reminder to care for children around the world in both word and deed. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, from the depth of my heart, I want to say thank you. I kind of feel like I'm holding something more important than we may realize. I think Lisa's touched a nerve here. Lisa, thank you. I pray you just keep doing it. You've been a blessing. I want you to know, you come back here anytime God tells you to share something with His family, you know you got an open door right here.
Thank you. I don't take that lightly, and I really, really appreciate it.
Well, we mean it.
I've been through a lot, and I am determined that if I had to walk through it, I'm going to make the devil pay because of
Amen.
It.
I've told the devil, and you know I have, devil, you are going to regret every blow you ever took against me or my family. You will regret it because I will crush you with it and your intentions. And that's basically what you're saying.
That's right.
You bear witness with that statement?
I do.
It confuses the devil. What's he going to do with that? I'm going to beat the you-know-what out of you. The gates of hell are not going to prevail on our watch. Thanks for watching.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news from all of the outreaches of Life. Just search Life Today and you'll be connected to exciting shows featuring your favorite guests. Never miss a moment to get inspired, get involved, and get the best of life anytime, anywhere. Life Today is always on. Subscribe, follow, like, and get the Life Today social media experience.
Are we going to give the culture what it wants? Are we going to submit to the culture? Or are we going to stand against the culture?
Next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.